Welcome back to Two Way Talk here on WEAA 88.9 FM. I'm Carol Williams.
And I'm Anthony McCarthy.
Dr. Celine Gounder is an infectious disease specialist and epidemiologist at NYU and Bellevue Hospital. She is also host of the Epidemic and American Diagnosis podcast. She was a member of the Biden-Harris Transition COVID-19 Advisory Board. Welcome to WEAA, Dr. Gounder.
Welcome to Two Way Talk.
It's great to have you with us.
COVID-19 is a very, very, very popular subject on our show. And just recently, they were talking about the Merck pill. Merck is introducing that pill and can help reduce the spread of COVID. What can you tell us about it?
So this is a pill somewhat similar to a pill like Tamiflu, which we use for influenza. Mm-hmm. So it's a pill you take by mouth. But the key is that you have to take it very soon after exposure or infection. It's not going to have any impact if you've already developed shortness of breath, if you're already sick enough to be in the hospital. So really imperative, along with this new pill and others like it, is that we massively ramp up testing so that people can get a quick test result and know that they have this and get started on treatment quickly.
So you wouldn't consider that a preventative, would you?
No, this is not a medication that you would be taking every day to prevent COVID. You know, it's not like the birth control pill. These are actually very expensive medications, so that would really not be affordable either. But this is something that if you were, say you're living in a nursing home and your caregiver or a visitor had COVID, you were exposed, that's a situation in which you might want to start somebody like that on one of these medications.
So, Dr. Gounder, I'm very curious about the rollout process. A lot of news around Merck and this pill. People are just curious about the timing. When will it be available? Who's going to get it first? Can you kind of explain the rollout process to us?
Well, first, the FDA has to review the data on the drug. And I think sometimes people are like, oh, come on, why is it taking so long, right? Well, you know, imagine literally a truck trailer full of documents. That is how much data that they have to review on any one of these. So you have to read it, you have to digest it, you have to think about it. And at the same time, remember, the FDA is also reviewing booster doses of Moderna and Johnson & Johnson. They're reviewing all of the vaccines for use in 5 to 11-year-olds. They have their plate full, and this is adding to that plate. So I think, you know, we do have to understand that there are only so many people there, and so we have to let the process unfold properly. I do think sometime later this fall, we will see an authorization from the FDA for the Merck pill. And I think initially it's really going to be prioritized for the people who are at highest risk for developing severe disease if they get COVID. So that would be, you know, the elderly, people in nursing home facilities, and people with other immunocompromising conditions or underlying medical conditions.
What can you tell us about the rapid at-home COVID test, and how accurate is that test?
So these tests are pretty good. They're not as good as the PCR test, which is the higher-level test that we use, for example, in hospitals or health facilities. But they're pretty good, especially if you're using them frequently. So if you're using them a couple times a week, you know, even every other day, every day in certain settings, that is, in those settings, they're going to work quite well. I think what's really important to remember is that these are cheaper than the PCR tests, at least. They really do need to be made even cheaper than they are. They can be done very quickly. You can do it in your own home, so people have a lot more control over being able to test. So they're really an important tool in all of this.
Are there, when we think of rapid at-home COVID testing, are there times when they're going to be misdiagnosed, what do we call them, positive, negatives,
false positive?
Will there be times when those results will be confusing like that?
Well, there's going to be false positives and false negatives with any test, whether it's a blood
test or an x-ray
or, you know, every single test has some number of false positives and false negatives. And so you have to put it in the context. You know, if you get a positive and you know you were recently around someone with COVID, that's probably a positive. If you have been home alone and haven't seen anybody in a month, and you get a positive test, that's probably not real. So, you know, you have to put these things in context. But I would say, big picture, these tests are really pretty good.
Now, I have listened a couple of times to your podcast, and you don't seem to what I'm setting up here is that we get a lot of conspiracy theories on our show. Callers call in and warn us about
chips
being put in people's bodies, and people have died from the vaccine. And they just, every day when we talk about this, we're trying to get people to educate themselves, but we're often countering all of this misinformation that really seems to be organized. What do you think about the misinformation campaigns around the COVID vaccines?
Yeah, I think one thing that's really important to understand is that there is a business model here.
Yes.
And the business model is, you know, I am one of these, you know, people who spreads disinformation. I will say, you know, whatever the mainstream medical establishment, scientific establishment says is wrong. That drug, that vaccine doesn't work.
It's
safe, et cetera, et cetera. But hey, I have something that works really well.
That works wonderful.
Here's my, exactly. Here's my website. Please buy what I'm selling because it's And, you know, so there's a guy by the name of Joseph Merkula, who's the biggest one of these guys, but there's many, many people like this. But just to give you some perspective, this guy, Joseph Merkula, is worth $100 million.
Wow.
And so there is big money in disinformation-based businesses, and people are making money.
I did not realize that, Dr. I just had no idea, Dr. Gowner, that it was that basic, that people really are making a lot of money by causing all this confusion.
Yeah, and so, it, you know, it is really unfortunate because at the same time, people like you or me that are trying to get better quality information out there, we're not making money in the same way off of putting good information, right? And so the more money you make, the more people you can hire to help you put out more bad information. Whereas if you're not making a ton of money off of putting out good information, it's really hard to continue amplifying and to match sort of in that race of disinformation to match them.
Here in Maryland, just recently, a man shot and killed his brother. And he said he shot and killed his brother because his brother was a pharmacist and he was giving out the vaccine, and the vaccine was meant to kill people. And I was stunned by that. Yeah. But I was talking to someone at breakfast the other day, and I was just kind of explaining what the man was saying. And he said, well, I'm glad he did kill him.
What?
Because they're killing people with this vaccine. And I didn't know how to counter that. I mean, being reasonable and rational was not the answer, evidently. Yeah. So I'm just stunned by the misinformation campaigns.
Yeah, I mean, in the U.S., over 200 million or so
Americans
have been vaccinated. If this was an attempt to kill off Americans, even a subgroup of Americans with vaccine, you would have heard of millions of Americans dying.
Right. Yes.
And that hasn't happened. That hasn't happened. What we have seen is over 700,000 Americans dying from COVID. And those are deaths that could have been prevented by vaccination. What we are seeing is in states that have done a really good job of vaccinating, deaths from COVID have plummeted. So we know that they are saving lives and that they're keeping people from getting sick and ending up in the hospital.
Okay. So we want to give our callers a chance to call in. We have Dr. Gowner, an infectious disease specialist. We're talking to her. Here's your opportunity to ask her any question that you want. 410-319-8888 and ask any question that you want to.
Give us a call. We're blessed to have Dr. Celine Gowner with us today. 410-319-8888. Dr. Gowner, do you ever see a time, I want you to look in your crystal ball, that we will be at the end of this pandemic? Or as some people say, some medical professionals say, this is with us now for good.
Yeah. Well, I think it depends on how you frame that question. I think we will see an end to the pandemic. I do think at the same time, we will need to live with COVID for the indefinite future. And those are two different things.
Yeah.
You know, the pandemic is really an emergency situation where hospitals are full, thousands of people are dying a day. I think we will get to an end of that. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, we are making inroads with vaccination. We've made dramatic progress with communities of color. And I really think that that's because of the very hard efforts of my colleagues, my Black and Latinx and Indigenous doctor friends and, mm-hmm. and nurses and you know, respiratory therapists and all the others who've really reached out to their own communities to talk about these issues. So in those communities, we've seen a big increase in vaccinations.
Mm-hmm.
And then now you have a number of employer mandates that are coming into play.
Yep.
And those are having an impact. You know, here in New York City, where I am, where healthcare workers have to get vaccinated, where school staff need to get vaccinated, we've seen vaccination rates up in the mid to high 90s now. So mm-hmm. it's really working. And as more and more workplaces mandate vaccination, I think that's going to have an impact. My hope is that by early 2022, we will be in a different place. We'll still have to live with COVID, but it won't be the deadly disease that it still is mm-hmm. today.
So with this Delta variant region through the country, do you see any other variants in our future?
There's certainly the risk that we could see the emergence of new variants. As long as you allow the virus to spread from person to person for that transmission to continue, every time it jumps from one person to another, mm-hmm. it has the opportunity to mutate.
Mm.
And so when it mutates, you can have a new variant. And so, you know, it's not just in the U.S. that we're still seeing a lot of transmission. We're still seeing a lot of transmission in the rest of the world. And so the most important thing we can do to prevent a new variant like Delta is to vaccinate people, especially people who have not gotten the single dose yet.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the phones. 410-319-8888 is the number if you want to join our conversation. Our guest is Dr. Celine Gounder. She's an infectious disease specialist and epidemiologist. 410-319-8888. Richard, welcome to Two Way Talk.
Hi.
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 My question is that we hear all this information floating around. Probably some of them are from very good sources, and probably some of them are from not trustable sources, uh-huh. trustworthy. So, you know, myself, I'm doing the basic things, you know, wash my hands, wearing the mask, getting my shots, and, you know, and so forth. But what are we really to consider, you know, mostly here? I mean, if we're being fed information that may or may not be accurate, what should we do?
Mm.
Who do we turn to?
That's a very good question, Richard.
I understand this is a new ball game. You know, we're learning something new here. We're in the infancy stage. And I'm sure as time goes on, we'll probably learn much more. But, you know, what are we to do now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you, Richard.
Dr. Gounder?
Richard, that's a really great question. And a lot of times I hear people saying, you know, I'm going to do my own research.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that is that when people say they're going to do their own research, that usually means I'm going to go on Google and type in some search terms and do some searching around on Google. And just as we're learning, you know, this week with the whistleblower who's testifying before Congress about Facebook, Google has some of its own problems with
yep.
its algorithms.
Mm-hmm.
And its algorithms are designed to send you down a rabbit hole of disinformation. And so when you say, I'm going to do my own research, well, yeah, feel free to do your own research, but do it in the right way. And Google is not the way to do it. If
yeah.
you're going to do your own research, you know, you should be talking to doctors and other healthcare workers who specialize in this field. You know, medicine is a big field, and you don't want to be talking to a cardiologist or a kidney doctor about COVID. You want to talk to somebody who knows what they're talking about. You know, if you understand something about science, maybe have studied some of this, going to PubMed, which is sort of our medical scientific journal search engine, reviewing that primary literature, that's really where you want to be going. And then in terms of mainstream media, some of the best over the course of the pandemic that have done the best at digesting the scientific papers that are coming out, you know, The Atlantic, The New York Times are probably two of the best Stat News, I would add to that list as well. Really giving you credible information.
Let me ask you, Doctor, because we got a caller who said, why aren't you all really giving equal time and promoting herbs and seeds? And that, you know, there's information available about herbs and seeds that they had not caught the virus in over a year. They are not vaccinated. They have underlying conditions. And the reason they didn't catch it was because of herbs and seeds and that we should be talking about. And I said, well, of course, we should give everyone a hearing. But the thing I love about the vaccine and the trials is that it's tested. And that it's effective, and they rate its effectiveness, and you know exactly what's happening. And he said, well, we can get you credible information about herbs and seeds. And I said, but has it been tested? And has it been proven? And do you know how effective it is? What about all of these other remedies that people are talking about? Some of them are home remedies that they've done in their homes, but they think are effective when it comes to fighting a horrible, deadly virus.
Look, I wish something as simple as seeds and herbs was the solution here. I wish.
Because me too.
Then we would be in a very different place. You know, in parts of Africa, or most of Africa, really, where they still don't have access to the vaccine. Yeah, I would love to tell my colleagues back there. I used to do a lot of my work over there. I'd love to be able to say to them, hey, just take some herbs and seeds and you'll be okay.
Yep.
But that simply is not a solution. And if you go back, you know, I worked in South Africa for many years. In the 90s, you had Thabo Mbeki, the prime minister of South Africa, saying HIV does not cause AIDS.
That's
but
right.
If you get AIDS, you know, just eat some potatoes, some beetroot, and you will be okay. Mm. And as a result of that, it's been estimated that hundreds of thousands of South Africans died from HIV AIDS because they were not accessing proven treatments.
Mm.
Yeah, I was going to ask that question too. But I was going to specifically ask, was there any credibility to those herbs and seeds building your immune system to the point where you cannot get COVID? That's what was my question going to be, but you answered it.
Let's go back to go ahead.
I was just going to say, big picture, you know, you want to have appropriate nutrition, but there's no immune boosting effect of herbs and seeds. You just want to be making sure you have a well-rounded,
of
healthy
course.
Diet.
Let's go back to the phones. Dwayne's calling from Baltimore. Dwayne, welcome to Two Way Talk.
Hey, thanks a lot for taking my call.
Appreciate it.
I'm calling to thank the person you have on for giving this good information, because we certainly need it any chance we can get. And I wanted to say, you know, a lot of people say they're going to do research, okay? But what that research entails is listen to somebody who they trust off of media. Okay, let's be honest. A lot of people, you know, people nowadays don't like to read anything. So, you know, they're not going to go and do deep research. I mean, based on some of the questions that you get from people, you know, they don't even understand how viruses even make us sick. They don't know how viruses work, but they're going to go do research on the cure. And like your guest said yesterday, half these people, well, no, most of these people can't tell you what's on the back of the ingredients of the Twinkies that they eat. They don't even know what that is, but they're going to go do this research. You know, and they understand how viruses work, and all of a sudden they're biochemists, and it's just crazy. But I do appreciate this show. Thank you guys for having people on this show.
Thank you so much. And you know, the interesting thing is, what Dr. Gounder said is exactly how I feel. If it was that simple, but we're talking about life and death here, and so I just am not comfortable telling people seeds and herbs are the answer. Maybe they are in the general sense, but when we're talking about this deadly virus, we've just got to do better. And honestly, I leave it to the professionals. I leave it to people like Dr. Gounder, who have been trained to educate us on how to fight this virus.
And if it was that easy, I'm sure the scientists would have been the first people to tell us, please take this herb and that seed.
And we'll be fine.
Yes.
So anyway, we're talking to Dr. Celine Gounder, and let's go back to the phones. Christina is on the line. Christina, welcome to Two Way Talk.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it.
So the question that I have, the for the doctor is about natural immunity.
Okay.
From what I understand on natural immunity, it tends to provide a lot more robust protection than vaccination. However, that doesn't seem to apply to COVID for some reason. So my question is, why isn't natural immunity being promoted, and why are they still encouraging vaccination for people who have natural immunity?
Did you hear that, Dr. Gounder?
I did. Uh-huh. And that was a really good, important question. So, and this actually applies not just to COVID, but really any infectious disease. The issue is that with natural immunity, with an infection, the immunity you get is a bit all over the place. Some people will have very strong immune responses. Some people will have sort of medium immune responses. Some people will have very weak immune responses. And they're all over the place. It's really hard to predict. It's not easy to actually test for that. And some people have said, oh, we'll just check somebody's antibodies. The problem is the antibody tests that you can get done, you know, by a commercial lab, so like Quest or LabCorp or whatever your doctor's office would order, those tests aren't really good at predicting that, that you know, telling you really how immune are you. And so because it's so unpredictable what kind of immunity you have after infection, we are recommending that you get at least one dose of vaccine, even if you've had infection. And you can think of that first infection as like one dose of vaccine, and then you get another dose of vaccine to top it off. The other issue is that there's very real risk to getting infected.
Yep.
You know, this is, you know, we don't want you to go out and, you know, have a COVID party and get everybody infected, because guaranteed somebody's going to have a bout out.
Different.
It might not
yep.
be you, but somebody is going to end up in the hospital. Somebody could end up dying. And so it's not worth it. The whole point of vaccination is to give you that immunity without the risk of a natural infection.
Thank you, Dr. Gander. You have given us some great, great information. And thank you for spending this time with us, informing our audience of some of the questions that they wanted answers to. Dr. Celine Gounder is an infectious disease specialist and epidemiologist. Thank you again.
My pleasure.
Take care.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in a minute.